Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
So why do businesses use this brand anthropomorphism in their marketing strategy?
You just perfectly summarized the whole motivation behind humanizing brand. Companies are trying different strategies to develop long-term relationships, develop a social bond with their target audience. It seems we are beyond the era of focusing on product features and functionality, pretty much. We can still sell products, but in terms of making sure that customers are falling in love with our brand, we really need to jump into the emotional aspect and communicate some cues, human-like characteristics, mindset, mentality, and personality to start the consumer brand relationship, really. And over long term, make them kind of committed.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting that you say that we connect more with these kind of humanized images, which is, of course, easy to understand because we can connect more easily with humans. But when you are buying and investing in products, it's definitely an interesting thought that we can ignore that for the sake of being emotionally attached to the brand. Can that go wrong? What are the pros and cons of humanizing a brand in that way?
Definitely it can go wrong. When you communicate human-like characteristics, you communicate human-like cues, you expect human-like reactions from your target audience, right? So the ideal reaction that brands are expecting from their target audience, from consumers, is perhaps brand love and brand attachment and commitment and loyalty, right? But if things go pear-shaped, if you try to kind of be inauthentic and not genuine, what happens? You see brand backlash and hijack. So consumers really respond in two ways, whether they kind of support you or they oppose to your behavior. Once you show them that you have human-like characteristics, then you set the expectations high. Whether you are Pepsi, whether you are Starbucks, whether you are Nike or Apple, I am now in this social relationship with you as a brand. So if you try to kind of communicate in a way that your motivation seems corrupt, or you try to jump on, I don't know, social currency bandwagon such as Me Too movement, you know what I mean, becoming a brand activist, then consumers are very quick in questioning the motivations and responding negatively and creating this backlash against your brand.
Now, obviously, with this connection and this backlash that you mentioned, it can, I guess, in some ways be difficult to separate the idea of the humanized brand from the corporate brand. So how can we as consumers differentiate between what is a sensible choice and an actual brand value as opposed to what is just a marketing strategy like the bandwagoning you mentioned there?
So one element that, because consumers are quite smart, is they look at the previous history of brand, whether brand in the past has been practicing, you know what I mean, social responsibility, for example, or whether the brand has been practicing looking after the community, or no, just overnight, they now try to become the social warriors, for example, right? But if done well, if you try to communicate a bunch of personalities that are important for your target audience, and if you hit the consumer brand congruity connection or self-brand, what we call self-brand connection, then you should expect a very high degree of attachment.
Now, when it comes to modern brands, and particularly the ability for brands to, say, post as a, I guess, made-up individual on platforms like Twitter and Facebook, are we going to see more brands utilizing those strategies to humanize more easily rather than the, I guess, more old-fashioned style of mascots?
Totally. 100%. In so many ways, brands have realized that they need to be, to some extent, informal. They need to be really human. So instead of spending millions on a TV commercial, which we all know that kind of it has been edited millions of times, and it is the best of the best version. They jump on Insta for an informal story. If things go pear shaped, if things go wrong, they can try again next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if things go well, they can repeat that strategy. And another example is brands, for example, instead of trying to tie up with macro influencers with millions of followers, which sometimes are perceived as less authentic.
Yeah.
They are now building relationship with micro influencers, like regional or local influencers, to communicate that they are authentic in their brand humanization process, in that consumer brand relationship.
All right. Well, yeah. Fantastic. I think that's definitely something to be aware of, and a fascinating insight that you've given us into it there. Thank you, Dr. Abbas Mirzai, for joining us here on the show today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.